Good evening. It's Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. You're listening to KSTK FM, Wrangell, Alaska. I'm Shady Grove Oliver, and coming up in evening news, we'll hear about new redistricting in Southeast. Also, a boat ran aground near Juneau yesterday, and architects in Sitka are digitally copying totem poles. Stay tuned. Turning first to both local and regional news, the latest official redistricting plan keeps Ketchikan in the same House district as Wrangell. Metlakatla and Heidelberg are also included. It puts Petersburg in the same election district as Sitka, Craig, and Villages from Hoona to Hollis. Downtown Juneau is partnered with Haines, Skagway, and Gustavus, and Juneau's Mendenhall Valley remains its own district, surrounded by the downtown to Upper Lynn Canal district. The Alaska Redistricting Board released the plan on Sunday after considering about a dozen and a half sets of boundaries created by staff and outside groups. It said the new map is not the final plan. That's expected to happen during a Sunday meeting. Southeast has four House districts and two Senate districts. The two Juneau-based House districts would be in the same Senate districts as they are now. The other two House districts, to the south, are going to be combined as one Senate district. Continuing with regional news, nine passengers were rescued from a boat that ran aground near Juneau on Monday evening. The 36-foot motor vessel Islander ran aground at Shelter Island just outside Auk Bay. Coast Guard Petty Officer Sarah Moore said there were no injuries, and all passengers were transported off the boat by Good Samaritan vessels in the area. No fuel or oil was spotted in the area either. Coast Guard Sector Juneau responded with a small boat crew to make sure there was no danger or further need for help, Moore said.
We did send Coast Guard Station Juneau, one of our small boat crews, out to put eyes on the scene and confirm that there is no distress and that there is no pollution. And they will investigate the grounding as well, not the station, but our marine safety personnel from Sector Juneau. So touch base with the vessel once it's back in port and confirm that there's no significant damage, and if there is, that it gets dealt with accordingly.
The petty officer said the boat captain stayed with the vessel and plans to refloat it at high tide with the assistance of a salvage company. Moores did not know if the boat was sailing as part of a commercial tour. Coast Guard documentation shows that the boat is privately owned by a Juneau doctor as of March of this year, although it's also listed as part of the fleet with Alaska Galore Tours, a whale, bear, and glacier tour operator in Juneau. Next in regional news, the U.S. Coast Guard held a court-martial Saturday morning for a Coast Guardsman from Air Station Sitka. Petty Officer Second Class James Grover is charged with nine violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Coast Guard spokesman Kip Wadlow says three of the charges are for making false official statements. The other six are related to child pornography, negligent endangerment of a child, conduct prejudicial to good order and discipline, and service discrediting conduct. Grover could face dishonorable discharge plus confinement in a military brig of up to 15 years for the most severe charge. The court-martial comes after a February hearing in Sitka. Witnesses at that hearing included the Coast Guard special agent who investigated the case, a computer forensics expert who examined Grover's laptop computer, a doctor who determined whether the images were of underage girls, and Grover's estranged wife. The government said it found about 90 images or videos on Grover's computer that raised questions. Grover was represented by both a military attorney and private civilian counsel. Wadlow said Grover's court-martial was set for 9 a.m. Saturday before Captain Christine Cutter at the Federal Building in Juneau. Continuing with regional news, while the totem pole is one of the most recognizable forms of outdoor art in Alaska, it's also one of the least permanent. At Sitka National Historical Park, many of the original totems have been recarved, which, until recently, has been the only way to preserve this art form. Now, museum professionals are starting to use computer technology to make digital copies of totems. The virtual carvings won't ever stand silently beside a forested trail, but they will also never deteriorate. KCAW's Eric Newman met with National Park Service architects as they scanned one of Sitka's important totems.
I'm an architect with the National Park Service out of Washington, D.C. I work for a program called Heritage Documentation Programs.
That's Mark Shara from the Library of Congress. And that is the sound of history being made. Well, kind of. Over the weekend, Shara and his team visited Sitka from Washington, D.C. They were here as part of a program to document the totem poles in Sitka National Historical Park. But the tools used for this project were very different from the chisels and adzes used to carve the totems in the first place.
We're doing mostly what's called 3D laser scanning. which involves a machine, a 3D laser scanner, which shoots a laser at the object. In fact, it shoots about 50,000 points a second.
The scanner Shara is talking about is a device that will create three-dimensional images of the totem poles for the park's visitor center and website. When they're done, they'll have incredibly accurate pictures of the totems for future maintenance by the park and for the Library of Congress, which will get a set of architectural drawings for their permanent collection. Shara says he was sent to Alaska because these totems are unique.
Actually, I work out of Washington, but I work in national parks all across the country, and I think this is a unique resource. This is really, you know, from my personal experience, an amazing place, and the totem poles are simply amazing objects. And so I'm sure the Library of Congress is going to be very excited to have this as part of the record.
To scan all the way up the totem poles, Shara stands on a mechanical lift that raises him and the camera up in the air. The camera is mounted on a tripod and is about the size of a mailbox. As it slowly spins around, it records literally millions of points of information in what Shara calls a point cloud. Then, he takes a series of panoramic photographs that are layered on top and get plotted to those points. The end result? Something like a Google Map version of the totem poles. They're still experimenting with exactly what it'll look like. But he describes a fly-through, where viewers will be able to see all the parts of the carving up close. But he says the technology is still new, and they're using it for this project in a different way.
I'm not aware of anything specifically like this. Traditionally, we do buildings, you know, and you do a set of standard architectural drawings. But the totems are so sculptural, they're hard to capture in traditional drawings. And it's only with the advent of this new technology, we've only been doing this for the last 5 years, that we've been able to capture objects like this. It's kind of new for all of us, so we're just trying to stretch the boundaries of what we can do with this these technologies.
Over the weekend, Shara and his team documented 11 of the 19 totem poles in the park. They'll be back next weekend to finish the remaining 8. The Visitor Center hopes to have interpretation from this project available in the fall. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Eric Newman.
And finally, turning to statewide news, whether it's with bicycles, ATVs, or hiking boots, this summer is a prime time for Alaskans to go and play outside. There are hundreds of miles of trails available for use across the state, and much of that system is developed and maintained with federal funding. But now some of that money is at risk of drying up, and outdoor enthusiasts are worried about what that could mean for recreation in the state. APRN's Alexander Gutierrez reports.
Curry.
It's a clear Fairbanks day, and Jeffrey Orth is taking his golden retriever out for a little bit of exercise at Esther Dome.
We typically do at least a couple of 3-mile or 4-mile runs every week, and then if she's in shape, we'll do a 12-mile bike or 20-mile bike.
One of their favorite places to go is the Happy Valley Trail, a narrow mountain biking course that rides like a roller coaster. The trail cuts through a sloping forest, and it's intricate and winding. Orth shows me just how complex it is when we stop by a map.
We're right here at the top of that triangle. There is an outer loop going around, and that's about 6.5 miles. There is an inner loop, which is the yellow moving around, and that's about 3.5. And then we have this tight and twisty, that triangle or diamond shape there.
The whole thing was built a couple of years ago to the tune of $200,000. Much of that money came from a federal grant distributed by the Recreational Trails Program, or RTP, which sends $1 million to Alaska annually. As president of the recreation nonprofit Alaska Trails, Orth is a huge fan of RTP. So he got a little bit nervous when he learned that the program could go away next year.
There's no way to build sustainable trails without these RTP funds. They're critical.
The reason RTP is in danger of disappearing is complicated. Up until now, some of RTP's operating costs were covered by an Alaska-only trails program created by the late Senator Ted Stevens. With Congress going through a belt-tightening phase, that program is scheduled to go away this fall. But it was essential for maintaining federal RTP funds. So there's a domino effect, with RTP potentially being victim of a smaller program getting cut. To stop this from happening, trails advocates like Orth say the state of Alaska needs to step in and cover RTP's operating costs. His group, Alaska Trails, teamed up with snow machine clubs, trail organizations, and officials from the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the Mat-Su Borough, and Skagway to call upon the governor to make up the shortfall. Ben Ellis directs the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. He says the state is looking into it and acknowledges that the funding situation is uncertain.
How we move forward is up in the air, and we'll be discussing that as we start working on budget issues coming up this summer.
Because the budget for this fiscal year has already gone into effect, the state's somewhat limited in what it can do until the legislature meets again. But Ellis says they still might have a few options. They could maybe roll funding for RTP into a supplemental budget package, or they could try to reduce operating costs by awarding a few large grants instead of a lot of smaller ones. Ellis adds that he's optimistic that they'll find a way to keep RTP running.
We're very supportive of it. We think it's a fantastic program.
RTP funding is set to expire in October, and state officials are meeting later this month to discuss the program's status. Reporting from Fairbanks, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
And that wraps up our evening newscast. Thanks for tuning in to KSTK-FM, your source for daily local news in Wrangell. You can check us out anytime online, or you can find us on Facebook. Stay tuned. Your community calendar rundown is coming up next.